You're different now. You feel it. You see it on you. You recognize it. You feel the shift within. You feel the shift externally. You're different now. But they don't see it. Some of your friends see it. Other people may see it. You are different now. You've been living in the soul contract of your bloodline, and it has been coming with a certain type of weight. It's been coming with misunderstanding. It comes with distance, a certain level of, oh, I see you, and I see what this is. Because you were chosen to change the line, you were designed to eventually become unrecognizable, sticking out, fighting for your place, yet you were called to create this unrecognizable change, this unrecognizable pattern that doesn't exist until now. It's exhausting, yes, but your shoulders were built for it. So you finally and fully say yes to the call, surrender the fight, and step into your divine being unapologetically and into your light. You don't look the same anymore. You don't even sound the same anymore. You don't show up and present yourself as small and with shame anymore. You carried the emotional load and decided it was time to shift it and let it go. Who are you? Who is this person you've allowed yourself to fully come forth and be? It's who your bloodline prayed for. That's who it is. To empty the clip and show the world who they were made of. You are the chosen one. You are the prayer and the answer. So let them talk. Let them wonder about who you think you are because you now know exactly who you are. Be so unrecognizable and continue on this path that they have to go to God to figure out who you are and reintroduce themselves to you. Let's get into this episode. When we came here on divine mission with a divine plan and a divine purpose. A path meant to be walked in our authenticity. But along the way, life happened. Generational patterns got in the way. Systemic barriers showed up, and we were left to adapt and adopt imprints, stories, and survival modes that were never meant to define us forever. Here, we hold space, sacred space, to heal those narratives, those traumas, those generational and systemic barriers, guiding you back home to your true divine self and your soul's calling. This is the Soul Work Podcast, your home for healing with love, so you can live out your soul work in truth and power. Welcome to Soul Work with Love, the podcast, where soul meets strategy, spirit meets systems, and healing becomes your legacy. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Soul Work with Love, the podcast. I am your guide, your favorite pink sheep, Love Ashley Elaine. This episode, we are talking about owning your unrecognizable growth. Own that shit, girl. Own it. Own it. Right? There's these spaces of transition that nobody can understand. But you know you've changed. Your friends see it. Like, people might not see it. And sometimes it's always family that don't see it. So own it. We're going to get into it. Get your cup of tea, get your coffee, get comfortable, and let's get into this show. Hey, beautiful souls. It's me, Love Ashley Elaine, your favorite guide and pink sheep. Listen, I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you felt fully alive in your work, fully lit up by your calling? That's why I created Release and Rise, a sacred 6-week coaching experience for women who are healers, helpers, visionaries, entrepreneurs trying to get started in the entrepreneurial journey, and our creatives. We combined evidence-based strategies with soul-aligned practices to help you release what's holding you back and rise into your gifts and your purpose. The registration portal opens September 1st and the container starts October 1st. If your heart is nudging you, this is your invitation. If that question just started stirring something in you, check out the link below. Your next chapter in how you do everything is waiting for you. Ah, nice big inhale and exhale. Hello, 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 my beautiful souls. Welcome back to this amazing show, in my opinion. This episode, we're talking about owning your unrecognizable growth, right? We're going to be answering the question, what does it mean to own your truth and your growth beyond your family's expectations, but also owning your transformation? I think a lot of times, personal experience, right? We have been doing the work, right? We have been doing the shifting and the changing because we've seen what we don't want. We've seen how some of these patterns have been passed down to us that were just like, oh no, it stops here. Like, we're not doing this. I'm not feeding this to my kid, right? And we're actively making those shifts and making those changes, right? Because we've become aware of the pattern, right? Awareness is key to everything. And some people don't like to look at themselves because it's going to tell them, it's going to give them information that they're not ready to hear, right? So it's like one thing to see, you know, something within yourself and it's like, okay, that's mine. I need to change that for myself. But then there's another thing to see that there's been a pattern of dysfunction or a pattern of blame, shame, guilt, emotional shifting, falling on the sword, abuse, whatever, right? That has been passed down to me that has taken place in other areas of my family, like down that line. So In any form or fashion, awareness is always going to be the gift. Awareness is such a gift. Awareness is such a gift. And sometimes we think that when we've become aware of a behavior that is not good for us, we're all of a sudden bad, right? God doesn't make anything bad. We have to also remember that there are people that like to live in the low, live in the dark, and claim that identity and don't want to take accountability for what needs to change and what needs to shift. So those things end up getting passed down to their children. Hopefully they don't have any, but 9 times out of 10, what I've seen is that they end up having some and then the cycle just continues. So this episode, there's 4 different things that we're going to tap into. One is rewriting the narrative, right? What does it mean to rewrite this narrative for yourself? 2, claiming your identity beyond your bloodline and beyond your family. 3, honoring the soul contract that you've had within your family and then grieve that old role. That's going to be a big one. And then 4, prioritizing your path, because at the end of the day, you still have a mission. You still have to be obedient to it. You still have to live it out because there's other people that are not in your bloodline, that are not in your family, that you are not DNA connected to, that still need another version of you, that still need that version of you that is not so entangled with the blood, like your bloodline, right? And then get your journals, get your tea. Y'all thought I was playing when I say that in the beginning. Get your journals, get your tea, because there's a lot of like practical things that we are going to do, like almost like in session, right? It's almost like a little coaching session. But there's things that I'm going to be giving you that you can actually do in real time, right? Like, it's we have to start putting into practice, what does it mean to own this new version of me? What does it mean to recognize my growth even when other people don't? And what does it mean to now have permission, give myself permission to let go and release whatever version of me everybody else is still hanging on to, whatever version of me brought me through to this version of me, right? So take a nice big inhale again and exhale. Beautiful. Rewriting your narrative, right? Whatever and whoever they thought you were, release that. Let's just start there. Whoever and whatever they thought you were, your family thought you were, whatever that title was, whatever that name was, release that, right? That is no longer you. That is no longer who you identify with. That is no longer the pattern that you have been living in. That is no longer the decisions and the behaviors and the mix of all the things that you have identified with. Because remember, last week, the alignment of like the system, right? It's what you think you believe and what you believe you behave, right? It comes into a string. So if you believe that you are a guilty person, you're always going to feel the guilt for whatever takes place, whether it's your own behaviors and mistakes or what is placed upon you. The flip side of that is when you start saying no and you start kind of owning your truth, you start owning your healing and that unrecognizable growth, right? That growth that you had to, that growth spurt you had to hit to come into a space that says, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to carry the emotional labor. I'm not going to fall on the sword for everybody else's things. I'm not going to allow you to dictate to me without a conversation. All like whatever that is, that's going to come with some stuff too. What is going to work for you and your path? What is going to work for you and your internal system, right? Because you still have your internal family system that you have to take care of. You still have the mom, the dad, the masculine, the feminine, and your inner children that you still have to take care of. You still have an inner home that you still have to take care of, right? So if like pick one. Which side of the narrative do you want to be on that's going to allow you to internally connect with all those parts of you that you need to keep going forward, to step fully into the divine being that you've been called to be before you got on to this here earth, right? Which part of that do you want to be? There's going to be projections. It comes with the game. There's going to be blame. It comes with the game. There's gonna be misunderstanding. It comes with the game. If you want to break the cycles, if you want to live a different life than what you have been and what you've been exposed to in your family line, you have to commit to being misunderstood. You have to commit to having distance. You have to commit to not isolation, but you're going to have to commit to having a lot of time alone. Because it takes a very brave person to step into the calling of moving themselves away from dysfunction. Dysfunction is not an excuse. It's not an excuse. I can't accept that. I can't accept it. But of course, you're going to look like the dysfunctional one because you keep saying no, you keep setting boundaries, and they don't understand what those are. They don't understand what that means. Right? There's almost like this unwritten rule in family that we have to blur all the lines. Well, no, if it's okay for a family member to kick me out their house for whatever reason that was never discussed, then it's okay for me to say no when something comes up that I'm uncomfortable with. Right? There's always like these unwritten rules of how family is supposed to be with one another, but no one sees that there's dysfunction and chaos hidden underneath it. That there's toxicity hidden underneath it. That there could be other factors of what you're trying to do with your life, what you're saying yes to moving forward, what you're actively trucking through the fucking mud to accomplish. And it raises something in them that they haven't dealt with. Because what? Awareness is key to everything. Awareness is the biggest gift that any of us can have. And it's always going to start with the mirror coming back at ourselves. I've looked in the mirror. I'm not afraid to look in the mirror. I used to be afraid to look in the mirror because of the shame and the guilt that I've carried for so long. But you can't be afraid to look in the mirror. How are you going to know you got a pimple on your face if you don't look in the mirror? Riddle me this, right? So here's some, like, I'm such a systems person and I love it. Like, something I've learned over time for myself. I'm a systems person and behaviors are a thing. They're part of the system, right? So two things here for you, right? To really be able to access the new information of your transformation internally, right? We want to get off the surface because that's where everybody else is. Get off the surface. Get off the surface. Name the role that you are releasing. What has been your role in your family that you are releasing, right? And I'll give an example. I've always been seen as the dramatic one or the chaotic one, right? I'm releasing that. I'm releasing that. Here's why. Even now, right? I can right hand to the two hands to heaven, like Beyonce says, two hands to heaven, can say, I can see where things were chaotic for me. I can see where things may have, and these are all air quotes, you can't see me, where it seemed like I was dramatic, right? Because I'm an emotional person. I'm a feeler. I'm a deep feeler. I feel everything. I also have now owned that as my superpower. It is a gift to be on this earth and experience life. So to be able to feel the ups, the downs, the pain, I didn't even want meds when I gave birth to my son because I wanted to feel it. I wanted to feel that baby come through my body. If I felt it when I made him, I wanted to feel it when he was coming out of me, right? Huge TMI, but here we are. I am a feeler. So even now that a lot of my behaviors that I can recognize have shifted, right? I've grounded down a little bit more, a lot more, right? I've reshaped my container to where I can hold what I need to and not spill it, right? Not give my power away, not share so much with the people that are using it against me, right? It shows up in a way to where it looks like I'm still that same person because the other people claiming that for me have not changed. Listen to me. The other people that are claiming that for me have not changed. The other people that are claiming that for me have not changed. So when people have not recognized your growth, your shifts, your changes, what you've let go, what you're no longer allowing, what we're seeing now is the projection that they've always had of you because of the what they don't want to clean up for themselves. The number of times I've been told I have mental health problems, mental health runs in the family. Does it now? And it just magically skipped you. Let's see about that, right? Like, let's keep it a buck. The projections are not your definition. They're theirs. those projections do not match you or your aura, your behavior. It's theirs. So it's like, no matter where you are, if that other person saying those things, giving you that label, giving you that role, has not done their own inner work, they're still sitting on the surface. They're going to still see you that same way because they have not shifted. They have not changed. They have not done anything different than what they were doing when you were maybe in a chaotic place, but you were still trying to figure yourself out, right? Nothing is linear at all. Nothing is linear at all. We have to stop thinking that life is linear. Healing is not linear. Living is not linear. Nothing is linear. Because if everything was linear, how come yesterday two kids got shot at school, ages 6 and 10, right? Their life was just starting. And how come we have somebody still living this earth that is 100 and something years old? Nothing is linear. So name the role, name the behaviors, name whatever it is that has been placed upon you that is not yours, that you've been living in, that you've like came from under the cover of, and release it. Right? Maybe write it down, crumble the paper up, whatever releasing looks like to you, do that. And then name who you are now and then claim it, right? Walk in it, rise up in it. Maybe you just find like one deep sentence and you repeat that self to you. You repeat that sentence back to you. Often, right? Maybe you put it on a sticky note and you put it by your bed or on your mirror or in your workspace, wherever you are consistently first thing in the morning, so that you can see it and you repeat that back to yourself. Because what you believe is what you think is what you believe, and what you believe is how you show up. If you believe that you are a victim, you're going to show up as one every single time. You're going to show up as one every single time. If you believe you are a warrior, you're going to show up as one every single time. Every single time. If you believe you are a millionaire, you're going to show up as one every single time. The habits and behaviors of a person will tell you who they are. The habits and beliefs of a person will show you who they are. The habits and beliefs of a person will show you who they are. I missed that message in relationship because it was showing up in other parts of my family. So I made it okay. I'm not making it okay anymore. If I'm not allowing it from people who aren't in my family, I'm not going to allow it from people who are. Don't miss it. If I'm not going to allow it from people who are not in my family, I'm not going to allow it from people who are. Nice big inhale and exhale. So I have some journal prompts on rewriting the narrative. So journal prompt number one, what role did I play in my family growing up? And which part of that role still shapes the way I show up today, right? Because healing is not linear, there are parts that may still be showing up, but that doesn't mean you haven't worked through them, right? Wounds have depth. Behaviors have depth. When you were changing out a program, everything has depth. There's depth to everything. Think about your iPhone. I use this example a lot if you've listened to like my earlier episodes in the show before the name change, before the name change. But think about your iPhone. At some point, you got to clean it up. The system needs to change. So what happens when the system needs to change? The phone kind of shuts all the way down. You can't use it. You can't use it because it's got to get deep in there to change out everything that it needs to. Right? So I'll repeat that. What role did I play in my family growing up, and which part of that role still shapes the way I show up today? And the next one, how can I release the comfort of that role and rewrite the narrative? What would my life look and feel like moving forward? That is a big question that I always ask myself, right? In any faucet, what do I want my life to feel like? And what do I want it to look like? Because as long as I'm consistent with the feel of it, I'm going to attract the external that continues to make it feel that way. The people, the places, the things, the all of it, right? Nice big inhale and exhale. So this next part is claiming your identity beyond your bloodline. You can honor your bloodline while also separating yourself from the expectations and projections, because when people start projecting and placing expectations on us that we didn't have a conversation with them about, that puts us in a box that limits us, that doesn't give us the space to actually tap all the way into our being, stay in alignment with who we are, or even keep finding those alignments, right? There's no space in the container. So here's a practice that I've done that I want to share. So on a piece of paper, you're going to identify what is truly yours versus what is inherited. This takes deep awareness, right? And it takes deep awareness, but it also takes actually owning your identity, like owning who you are, owning your truths, right? So if you're being thrown, it's almost like that saying, I'm rubber, you're glue. What you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. Because it's real, right? That whoever made that up and taught it to us as kids, it's a very real thing. This takes actually owning who you are, your shadow, your light, all of it. And also looking at what you've had to let go, or what you're in the process of letting go, that has been an expectation from your family and has been inherited in some way, right? And I remind you, not everything we've inherited is bad, right? There's some things that we inherit that are part of the bloodline. My grandmother has reminded me that there's cousins and aunts and, you know, deep in the line that I've never met that are like on one of her sides, because my great-grandmother on my granny's side was an only child. So, but there's like, I mean, there's writers in my family. There's a book that family member wrote. It's actually downstairs. I need to read it. I probably brought it upstairs, but there's writers in my family. So when I would share my writing with my grandmother, she would let me read them to her. I could see that how proud she was, right? I could see that she would tell me, she was like, you got it honest. Like you know, there's a lot of writers in my family. She's like, so I'm not shocked that it's been passed down to you. She was like, but I love that you've taking this on, like, this is you, right? I have a cousin that's a professor. So it's not all of what we inherit is bad. And in this context, we're talking about the behaviors, right? The things that we've been told we need to do, or that we've been passed down, that don't align with us, because we were meant to stop it. We were meant to change it. We were meant to break it. We were meant to recreate, be a part of this recreation of the new world, of the new earth, this new order of how things will move forward. Because there's a lot of things that I've been taught, that I've been told to be okay with, that I've stopped the buck and I'm not passing down to my child. if that means isolation, it's just going to have to mean isolation. Like, I refuse to pass it down to my child, and I'm actively working through, at least on my end. Don't know what's happening on the other side. We'll get through it. But actively redirecting and changing what needs to be. And I've been doing that since he was younger, right? So because of my exposure to sexual abuse, I now tell my son, you have full autonomy over your body. No one has ever taught me to have autonomy over my body. No one has ever told me that my body is mine and that I can say no. No one has ever given me that authority over my body, right? So it has turned into being in spaces where I have to hug somebody that I don't necessarily feel comfortable around, or I have to, you know, go stay with somebody that I don't feel comfortable with, but I don't have the words or the language. It's just a feeling. I have now taught my son, you don't have to hug anybody just because someone tells you to. That is your body. If you don't feel comfortable hugging or touching or being hugged or being touched, then say, I don't feel comfortable, or you like, or in the most respectful way, right? Like, teaching him that his body is his and he has autonomy over it. But on the other side of that, teaching him the safety of expressing emotion and having autonomy over how you do that as well. But also, what does it look like to do that in a safe way, especially when those bigger emotions, those more in-depth emotions come up. So back to the practice. On a piece of paper, you're going to write on one side, what did I inherit, right? What did I inherit from my family that doesn't really align with me, doesn't feel good in my body, and I don't really need that moving forward, right? I can like recreate it in a different way. I can shift it in a new way. And then on the other side of the paper, you're going to write, what is actually mine, right? What has been mine that I either need to continue to heal or that I have really healed, right? Because I believe that there are things that we can heal and just not do anymore and change, right? It's part of the change behavior model, right? It's making the decision to say no more to something. So just for example, so you have the example, on my inherited side, I put scarcity, denying emotional needs, and a linear life, right? And then on my side, I put falling on the emotional sword, guilt and blame, and taking on shame and people pleasing, because those were the things that I always did, was take on the shame of whatever someone would do to me, right? Or taking on the guilt and the blame for everybody's behaviors. It was a thing that happened when I grew up. My brother got in trouble, we got in trouble. He never got in trouble on his own. So I was always getting in trouble. I was always the one to blame, right? And even like falling on the emotional sword. Not doing that anymore either. That's a lot more in depth to explain, but I'm not doing that either. So take your time in doing this, right? And then there's two questions in addition to. There's a lot of work that you can do with this. So please be kind to yourself. Please be gentle with yourself. You don't have to do it all in one sitting unless you want to. But give yourself breathing space to do it, because things will come up. If you need like breathing techniques or yoga or meditation, if you go to my YouTube page, I have some meditations on there and breath work that you can tap into. If you go to some episodes, I think around like the 70-ish episodes, there are meditations on there also. And you can join my soul tribe every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do breath work and meditation, and we dive into stuff like this, right? Because in order to really know how you're moving forward, You want to understand where you are right now and what the past, like where your past has kind of brought you to, so that you can let go and keep moving forward, right? It makes the work easier to do. It gives you more invigoration and creativity in your work to be able to really move through and work through some of these emotional spaces. But two journal questions that you can kind of tap into also are, what are three beliefs, traditions, or habits that you inherited from your family that no longer fit you, right? And this can help you with the practice. And then write three beliefs, traditions, or habits that you're choosing to keep. So that's another beautiful part of it also, is there's things that we've inherited that we can choose to keep. So maybe it was every Thanksgiving, you guys are going on a trip. You're going, you know, out the car, whatever it is, right? Maybe that's something you want to keep doing because you like that exposed you to another side of life. So there's always two coins to everything. And I want to make sure that we honor both and release what we need to, right? Everything is not meant for everybody, and that is okay. So take a moment to do that. We're going to take a short breath break, nice big inhale and exhale, and we'll be back. And welcome back to Soul Work with Love, the podcast. Nice big inhale and exhale. So these next two things that we're going to journey through, honoring the soul's contract and grieving the old role. So as we have already kind of moved through laying out what role have you been taking on, what role were you in, I need us to also remember 111, that was a part of our soul's contract. When we somewhere in the ether said yes to coming here and agreed and did our dap and handshake, signed it off with God that we were coming to earth, that was a part of the contract. Why? Sometimes you like, it was a part of our contract because we needed to witness it, see it, feel it, endure it, so that we could break it. Sometimes something can't get broken if we're not made aware of it. And we had to become made aware of what was happening in our bloodline so that we could shift it and change it for our children or our nieces and nephews or whatever is to come, right? We can't really change it for our nieces and nephews if our siblings are still warped up in whatever that is. And it's a part of our soul's calling. It's a part of our purpose, right? Our purpose is, it includes everything. It's not just all the good things and the businesses and the programs. It also encompasses those hardships, those things that we have to maneuver through, right? Purpose is who you are, not just what you do. So we have to honor that, right? We have to honor that it was part of what we came here for, right? And I think I said it here, I can't remember, but alignment isn't just when things are going good. Alignment is, what are we moving through, right? So there's moments, there's times where like I'm reflecting back on certain things that have happened, like certain things that I've come through, and I can now see, didn't see it then, but I can now see the divine orchestration, right? In order for systems to change, they have to collapse. They have to experience some type of, they have to experience something that is going to expose what needs to be exposed, and it collapses. Everything we go through is not always bad for us. It only becomes bad for us if we do nothing after, if we do nothing with the experience, right? So instead of, you know, I went through this and it hurt me, I now say I went through this and it taught me. What did you go through that it taught you? So we have to honor the contract and the roles that we have once upon a time said yes to, and know that we have the authority to say no more to that role. Like, if we don't want to do that acting job anymore, we don't have to keep doing it. We can break that contract. So it's honoring the lessons and the gifts from that era of you that you gained, even through the pain that it may have brought. Right? There's pain that comes with enduring. There's pain that comes with having to move through. There's exhaustion that comes from patience sometimes. Like, the pain is part of the journey. You can't have a journey that is exempt of pain. When a baby is being born, there's pain that takes place in the mother for that baby to get here, right? There's pain that has to take place for the pleasure and the joy to be existing, to be existence, or be in existence. So what are you honoring? What are you willing to honor, right? Instead of now you doing the blame shifting, what are you willing to look at and say, you know what? I honor that my ancestors went through this, and I also honor that I had to endure X, Y, and Z, right? And this is for the grown folks only, right? This is for the mature, because they're like I say often, I am not above sharing any of my life experiences, and I've shared a lot of them. There's a lot y'all don't know about me, but I've shared a lot of my life experiences that now I can look at and say, if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have become who I am today. I wouldn't have been able to undo what it did to me and teach my son something different, how to treat women, how to have autonomy over his body as a man, how to be emotionally intelligent, right? If I didn't go through a lot of the things that I went through, I don't know what version of me would be sitting here today. I probably wouldn't even have this podcast, right? I wouldn't have been able to find my gifts, because even though our gifts are not for us, there's something very healing and cathartic for me to be able to create from the spaces of the pain that I've endured, right? To be able to storytell, to be able to speak, to be able to say out loud what has happened to me is healing, right? I am a thinker. I am a speaker. I am a communicator. I am a translator. It's all in my chart, right? I'm a Gemini stellium. So a lot of my gifting is writing and speaking and teaching and saying the thing out loud, communicating with other people, right? Holding space for other people to tell their story and talk about their pain and the things that they've been through. So it puts me in a position to honor what I've been through, because every time another level of me arises, I see my past stories a little bit more. I see them a little bit clearer. I see them a little bit deeper, right? I see the spiritual design in them. Everything is spiritual. I say this often. Everything is spiritual. And when we remember that everything is spiritual, we remember the go through. We remember the push through. We like our language changes from why is this happening to me to what is this teaching me? What is this showing me? What is this molding in me? What is this doing for me? We don't escape the emotions that come with it. We endure and we feel and we press through it, because it's doing a thing in us. It's doing a work in us, right? We don't suppress it. We don't allow it to become something that it doesn't need to be. We don't heighten it either and make it like the only part of our story. What happened to you is not your story. It's a comma, and then what you do with it afterwards. So what is it that we're doing with what role we've been playing in our bloodline? Our ancestors needed us to be able to witness what this thing is so that we can shift it, we can change it. We can be not just the prayer, but the answer to the prayer. Your position in your family system needed to be so that so that the thing that needed to change could be healed, so that it can be changed, so that it could be restored, so that it could be brought to the light, whether people want to admit to it or not, whether people want to see it or not. That part's not up to you. We can't force anybody to see something that they're not ready to see. We can't force somebody to say the thing that they're not ready to say. We can't force the apology that people are too humble and prideful to give. You were meant to do something different. You were meant to show up in what needed to be changed. You were meant to be here to become unrecognizable so that the bloodline can shift, the DNA can change. We're talking about epigenetics and the shift in how healing shifts a whole entire blood. There's actual research, scientific research that shows how healing becomes a shift in the epigenetics of a person. Trauma, if trauma hits a bloodline and can shift the bloodline, then healing can do the same thing. The DNA starts to do something different. The nervous system starts to do something different. Everything is connected internally. So it's connected to the blood. It's connected to, that sounded so churchy. It's connected to the blood. It's connected to the DNA. It's connected to the fibers of your body and of your being. So now you pass that on. What do you want to pass forward? What was given to you that almost took you out, that you're saying no more to? So a practice tool for that is writing a goodbye letter. Write a goodbye letter to that role, to that version of yourself, to that practice, to that bloodline, right? And when I say writing a letter to that bloodline, you're shifting the blood's DNA. Your yes to healing is changing the fibers of your DNA and of the blood in your body and in your line, in your family system. You have clotted what has been, and now you're undoing what needs to change. Writing this goodbye letter will help you really understand whatever your current transition space is, because that's hard. Transitions are very, very hard. Just saw 444 on the timer for this. Transitions are very hard, especially when no one understands them as deeply as what you're experiencing, right? What's changing? Because because we still think that life is linear, what a transition looks like and what it's been like for other people when they see your transition, it's like, oh, well, why are you not transitioning the same way? When things had to change for me, this is what I had to do. You're not doing it correctly. You're not transitioning correctly, right? That's the kind of thing that comes up, right? It could be, oh, you're not transitioning correctly. Well, what is that supposed to look like, right? Because when people transition and leave this earth, it doesn't look the same. But the final product is the final product. So for this goodbye letter, here's a journal prompt, like two different journal prompts that you can kind of sit with. What parts of you past your identity do you need to grieve? What parts of your past identity do you need to grieve? And if you could thank the past version of you that got you to this point, what would you say? So give yourself the space to write that letter, right? Nice big inhale. and exhale. And this last part, which is prioritizing your path, your growth is not selfish. You having to step away and isolate from your family, your friends, your environment, the people that once upon a time were in alignment with you. Your growth is not selfish. Prioritizing your growth is not selfish. Prioritizing yourself is not selfish. Prioritizing your gifts and your call and the work that you came here to do is not selfish. Prioritizing your grief is not selfish. Prioritizing and isolating yourself for good reason, right? Not isolating yourself to block out because you still have to engage. But prioritizing your growth is not selfish. There is something beautiful that is transforming and shifting within you. And giving that away is going to harm you more than it will help you. Everybody does not deserve this next version of you. Everybody does not deserve to be a witness to the things that are transforming and changing and shifting within you. You have to take your own responsibility for your joy. You have to take your own responsibility for your growth. And it's not selfish for you to choose you and say, I want to heal. I want to be different than what I've been shown. I don't want to live in the light and or the darkness of what I've already seen take place in my family. I don't want their life. I don't want their mistakes. I don't want their anger. I don't want their miscommunication. I don't want their emotional distress. I don't want their numbness. I don't want their pain. I don't want anything that I've already seen them endure that they're trying to pass on to me. I don't want their version of hustle. I don't want their woulda, coulda, shouldas. I don't want their jealousy. I don't want their disdain. I don't want their confusion. I don't want what they keep showing me. They don't want to change. I want to be different. I want to be whole and walk in my light and walk in my divineness and walk in everything that I know I am because God told me that that's who I am. I want to walk in the abundance of being me because that's who I am. I don't want to be small. I don't want to stay in shame. I don't want to keep living in guilt. Because I'm choosing me. My growth is not selfish. Your growth is not selfish. The way you feel is not bad. The way you want to live is not bad. The way you keep putting your dreams and your goals and first because you know what the trickle down is going to be is not bad. It's not selfish. You're not meant to be here and do like everybody else. You're not meant to be here and live like everybody else. The torch was passed on to you for a reason. That torch was passed on to you for a reason. Spiritual succession is a very real thing. We have to get off the surface of what this human experience tells us we're supposed to be and look at how spiritual everything is. Everything is spiritual. Everything. You got on a meat suit. You're a spirit walking around in a body, in a container. What are we going to do with it? So here's a journal prompt that you can utilize. What's one boundary, decision, or habit that you can commit to this week that reflects the growth that you are going to walk in? For me, it's going to be sticking to what I said I was going to do and listening to my body and not over pushing myself or overdoing it, right? Because that you're not hustling enough, right? I've seen bodies break down. I see people in my family's bodies break down. I see the workaholics. I see the people who say they're happy, but they're not. Right? I see all of it. I see the unhealed emotional stuff from their childhood now circling back. There's a disease for that. It's called Alzheimer's. Right? And then another journal prompt. How will you remind yourself that choosing your path and choosing to live in your fullness honors both you and your lineage? How will you remind yourself that choosing your path and choosing to live in your fullness honors both you and your lineage? Take a nice big inhale and exhale. Today's affirmation is, my growth is not disrespectful, it is my deliverance. Yeah, my growth is not disrespectful, it is my deliverance. Our deliverance don't have to be the same. That's it. Our deliverance is not going to look the same. But I want to be around other free people. I want to be around other self-aware people. I want to be around people who are not afraid to say, you know what? I messed up. I apologize. And take real accountability for their actions. I'm not asking them to pick up shame. I'm asking for them to get real. I love y'all so, so much. So, 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 so much. So much. Take another nice big inhale and exhale. Tune in next week. I love y'all for free. Take care.